Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
God to bless the word today, would you?
Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be able to be here. And Lord, all we have, all good and perfect gifts, we know they come from you.
Yes.
Air that we breathe, food that we eat. So, Lord, open our ears and our hearts this morning and make us willing to take in your word and to give back to you that portion which you have asked of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our theme this year is an open door for 24. And here's what I firmly believe, that God is going to open the door for exponential giving like we've not seen before this year. I believe. Did y'all hear about the two men who were up in the private plane? They were up flying over the Pacific Ocean. And tragically, this private plane went down and crashed on a deserted South Pacific island. And amazingly, the two men did not die. The pilot nor his buddy. Neither one of them died. And so after the wreck, after the crash, one of the friend of the pilot who owned the private jet brushed himself off and decided to check out the island. And he spent several hours just making steps around that island. And he came back and he told his buddy, the pilot, he said, "Man, we're in a mess. This island is uninhabited. There ain't any people here. And what's worse, there's no food and there's no fresh water. We're probably going to die." And the pilot said, "Oh, don't worry about that. I make $250,000 a week." He said, "Wait a minute, maybe you didn't hear me. I've been all over this island, and there's no one living here. It's just us. And there's no food, and there's no water." And again, the pilot told his buddy, he said, "Man, you don't have anything to worry about. I make $250,000 a week." And his buddy's beside himself. He said, "I can't believe I've got to tell you this one more time. But," he said, "you don't get it. We are doomed. We are on an island that's deserted. It's just me and you. And there's no food and there's no fresh water." And the pilot spoke up. He said, "Well, don't let me have to tell you this again." He said, "I make $250,000 a week." And his buddy said, "What has that got to do with this?" He said, "Well, what you may not know is I'm a Baptist and I'm a tither. Our pastor will find us." I talk to a lot of pastors every week, and many of them are really concerned about their budgets at the church not being met. Ministries are suffering because people aren't tithing and giving the way God tells us to. And they feel like they've got to get up and browbeat and hammer and, you know, beg, bar, and plead to get the folks to do what God's already told us to do. I want to tell you, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I understand who I'm talking to. This is a giving church. All right? Look at your neighbor and tell them, "You're a giver." I hope nobody lied in here. Okay. Now, this is very interesting. You know, it's been Easter season, and I've been in 1 Corinthians 15, just the chapter just before this one. And it is the Mount Everest of the Bible when you're talking about the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the saints. I mean, it is the pinnacle point of resurrection in the whole Bible. And Paul has just finished, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has just finished saying, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" And in the next breath, he said, "Now concerning the collection." Why? Did y'all know? I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago, "Why is it Pastor Cal's always talking about money?" Well, the one who cried, the dog who barks, is probably the one that got hit with the rock. But I want to say this. Your giving and mine may be the greatest indicator of where we are spiritually. And by the way, Jesus spoke more about money, wealth, and possessions than any other subject by far. More than heaven and hell, he spoke more about money and wealth and possessions than he did 7 times more than salvation and prayer and discipleship. He taught more about money and what to do with it than he did about any other subject. Why? Because he knew we would have big issues with it. And so don't check out on me today. Man, I've got some good life principles here. And I have seen this happen before. I've even seen folks get saved on a stewardship sermon. Because you see, our giving, our stewardship, by the way, you're a steward, you're a manager of God's wealth. It's just given to you on loan for a little while. And somebody else is going to have all your stuff real soon. Take a look at that son-in-law. Take a look at that daughter-in-law. Hello. And so I'm going to give you some life principles this morning that I think will bless you in your giving, okay? And so we've got an open door of giving this year. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we're going to see some things happen and we're going to go, "Wow, look what God did." Number one, and we're going to park right there in verse 2. It's loaded with truth. We are to give with a planned regularity. Planned regularity. Planned regularity. Listen to what he says there in verse 2. And he says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "On the first day of the week." On the first day of the week. That sounds like some planning needs to be made for our giving. We plan for everything else. We plan for a wedding. We plan for a birthday. We plan for exercise. We plan on vacations. We plan for eating and feeding. And we ought to have a plan to give regularly. Now, there was a letter in the 2nd century sent to the Roman Emperor Trajan by this elder. His name was Pliny the Elder. And in this letter, he said to the emperor, he said, "These Christians, they're meeting down at the graveyard in the cemetery at dawn on Sunday to worship their great king, to worship their Messiah." You see, and so Paul sent that, but you understand the early church didn't have a bunch of church buildings. Oh, there was Jewish synagogues, houses of worship for the Jewish folks, but there were no church buildings. And so they met in homes, they met in cemeteries, they met in, and so why did they meet on the first day of the week? Why did they meet on Sundays? Because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. And we've been worshiping on Sundays ever since then. And giving on the first day of the week was a part of their worship. Let me just remind you, because we tend to think the preaching of God's word is part of worship. The teaching of God's word is a part of worship. The singing and shouting is a part of God's worship. And prayer is a part of worship. But I want to tell you, giving is a huge part of our worship. It's big. And we need to plan to give. Someone has well said, if you fail to plan to Yes. And so we need to be planning and thinking about how we're going to give on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. Now, let me say this. I get paid, y'all, I get a check. I get paid once a month. And so I don't bring our tithe in here. Diana and I don't bring our tithe in here on the every Sunday. We do it when we get paid. Now, I could do it every Sunday. But so we're not going to get legalistic about this. But whenever that big, whenever the eagle flies, that next Sunday is the day. Amen? Are y'all with me? Some of you are at the hotel. Have mercy. So, we ought to plan to give on a regular basis. And I don't know what that looks like for you and your family. If you get paid once a week, bring it on the first day of the week, on Sunday, every Sunday. If you get paid twice a month, just, you know, bring it twice a month, whatever. But make a plan to give on a regular basis. That's the point. There was a pastor over in Richmond, Virginia, by the name of Dr. Van Warner. True story. He had this engaged couple in his church. And tragically, something really, really tough happened. It was a rainy night. This engaged couple had been out to supper, been out to dinner. And so the bride drops the groom off at his house. And she pulls right up to the front door so he can get in without getting wet. And then he slams the door and she takes off and she's headed to her house. And tragically, she ran off that rain-soaked highway. The visibility was terrible. And she ran off down a ravine and she was killed. And the first officer that showed up at the scene of the accident got down in the ravine and he was looking for some identification to who this woman was. Well, he finally found her checkbook, and he got her name and her address and her phone number off of that check. And as he was looking for all that, he noticed the check stubs. And it seemed like almost every other check stub, there was a check made out to Oak Grove Baptist Church. Not our Oak Grove. But over and over and over again, there was a check made out. And just a few minutes later, her broken-hearted fiancé showed up. And he looked up the officer. He was still there. And they got into a conversation. And the officer said, "Sir, your fiancé must have been some kind of wonderful lady." Well, she was a giver. I wasn't probably supposed to see that, but I saw check after check after check was written to her church. She was a tither. And that brokenhearted fiancé was able to lead that officer to the Lord because of a tithing testimony. True story. And so I've got a question to ask us this morning. Does your checkbook, your bank statement, your mobile banking app, is there enough evidence in there to prove to someone that your heart belongs to Jesus? Again, our giving may be the greatest indicator of where we are spiritually in our testimony of giving. So plan to give on a regular basis. That's the first truth. Here's the second one. We're to give with personal responsibility. Say responsibility with me. Responsibility. Where'd you get that? Right out of the Word. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Let each one of you. That speaks of personal responsibility, doesn't it? And that speaks, let each one of you is in the emphatic position of the Greek language, and all that means is all the focus is on the individual. Can I just go ahead and say it as lovingly as I know how? God expects every born-again, baptized, blood-washed believer to give. And He sent His Son. God so loved the world that He... And He is our example in giving. And so everyone is responsible that's born again to give. Every one of us. Personal responsibility. And you know, here's the deal. The church is the most unbelievable organization in the world. And yet you can come to the church for decades and enjoy the preaching of God's word, enjoy the worship services, enjoy the music and the fellowship meals, and never give a red cent. Or at best, give God a tip. Is that the way things ought to be? No, all of us are responsible for doing what the scripture... Let each one of you... I tell you what, I hear people say from time to time, y'all know I'm looking for sermons all the time, right? So be careful what you say around me because it could wind up in a sermon. But I hear people say, well, you know what, I just don't feel like giving today. I've had a rough week and I had some unexpected expenses. By the way, this is just food for thought. If you're not a tither, your tithe is going to go to some doctor, some lawyer, some health physician, somewhere. It's going to go somewhere. And try this. How many of your kids and grandkids play ball? I'm not putting that down. That's a good thing. Okay? Try showing up at the gate and getting into the ball game. Say, you know what? I just don't feel like giving. I bet you don't get in the ballpark. Show up at the movie theater this week. Oh, at the box office station. Man, I've been waiting to see this movie come to town for months. I can't wait. But you know what? I just don't feel like giving. They'll tell you to go get it in the back of the line or go get lost because you're not getting in. You go to the restaurant and order a nice meal, and then the server brings you the bill, and you look at her as lovingly as you can and say, I just don't feel like giving today. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be back here washing dishes. So it's not about feelings. It's about faith. I may have told this story before, but it impacted me big on the individual responsibility for everyone to be a part of giving. In a former church, we were building this state-of-the-art, beautiful children's building in a county seat town, rural area. And it took everybody doing their part. And there was an older fella who was a widowed man, and his wife had passed away several years before, and his only daughter lived in the south end of the county, and Mr. Walter Ayers was kind of all by himself. And he would come to church. He was faithful. And Walter had been a custodian, a janitor for the school system for 45 years. Okay? And he lived in a very modest house, very modest, right down the street from the church. And Diana used to sit with him on Sunday nights because he was always sitting out there by himself. And so she would sit down with Mr. Walter. Well, Mr. Walter fell ill, got sick, wound up in the hospital for days. And then he had to go to rehab, and then he came home, and he still wasn't able to get out and about. And so he calls me one Monday morning. He said, could you come see me? I've got something I need to tell you. And I thought, oh, my goodness, he's got some news about his health. And so I left what I was doing there at the desk, just drove half a mile down the road and got up on his porch. I noticed some of the steps were kind of rotting out a little bit, and the screen door was kind of swinging and hanging. The hinges were coming off, and it was summertime, and so I banged on that screen door, and I heard from the back, come in. And so I gingerly pulled that door open and came in, and I noticed the ceiling had some spots on it. The roof was leaking. And as I moved through the living room, I noticed the wallpaper was coming off the walls. And then I noticed that some of the carpet needed to be replaced. And then I got back in the kitchen, and there's Mr. Walter sitting at his kitchen table and looking at the clothes he had on. I figured, you know, this cat needs some new clothes. And here's what he's doing. He's counting out hundreds, twenties, tens, and fives on his kitchen table. And he counted it twice while I was there. And then he put it in a big stack and he gave it to me. He said, "It's $5,000, Pastor. And I want you to take this and give it to the Lord down at the church." He said, "I hadn't been able to give lately. And I want to be a part of what God's doing." And I said, "Mr. Walter, are you sure you want to do that right now? Because I can tell there's some repairs that need to be done. And there's some other things you probably need to do." And he looked at me. And he said, "Brother Cal, are you going to deprive me of the greatest joy in my life to give to the Lord through the church?" And I mean, tears welled up in my eyes and I dropped my head and I said, "No, sir, Mr. Walter, I will not." And I took that $5,000, and you know how I got a big mouth, right? Sunday morning, I gave a tithing testimony about Mr. Walter. Got his permission. And man, we had a record offering that day. And it wasn't 2 weeks later, all that stuff at his house had been fixed. And a couple of the ladies, Susan, put him in some new duds. And over and over and over, I've been able to give that tithing testimony. Where are you with this? Where are you? Individual, personal responsibility. All of us are to be a part of giving to the Lord through His church. And then there's one final thing. We're to give a proportionate return. Watch this. On the first day of the week, that's planned regularity. Let each one of you lay something aside that's personal responsibility. But listen to this. This is proportionate return. Storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now, what I have noticed about the Lord, you all, in giving, is that you cannot outgive God. I'm telling you, I know this to be a fact. When we were living in the gospel ghetto, I've told you all this before. 30-something years ago in seminary on campus, we were living in a 950-square-foot upstairs apartment. And the first week we were there, all of our appliances blew up because of the electrical problem. I mean, it was an unbelievable thing. Diana was working there at the seminary in the post office there, and she wasn't getting post office wages, okay? She was a contract worker. And I was working at UPS at night and loading tractor trailers from 5 to 11. Went to school all day from 8 to 4. Got home, you know, around 11:30 and would study. And then on the weekends, I pastored a little seminary church. And we were making about $18,000 a year. And you know what our rent was in the gospel ghetto? About $6,000 a year. And we're trying to live on the rest of that. And there were some days, man, we didn't have money. If I wrote that tithe out, electric bill might not get paid. But I had my two daughters there every Friday evening, just before I'd go off to work. And we'd sit down and I'd write that check to the Lord through the church. And I watched. Saturday morning was usually the most wonderful time because me and the girls would run down to the post office box at the gospel get, and there'd be a check in there from some Sunday school class. There'd be a $100 bill in there from who knows where. And I watched God faithfully take care of us on an income that said, you can't afford to tithe. And I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on Him. I'm bragging on Jesus. And so as God prospers us, we're to lay something aside. And we're to give. Now, as I mentioned, you cannot outgive God. And y'all have heard the testimony about when we gave the Dodge quad cab, the Ram 1500, to the Lord. He gave me a boy. He gave me a son. All right? That's a true story. And on top of that, we got a little one-year-old, what was that, a Honda, what was that, No, it wasn't an Accord. A Fit, F-I-T. And it was cherry apple red. My son threw a fit when we got it, I guess. But anyways, God's big enough, you can't afford not to tithe. God will bless you if you'll do that. And so where does giving start? Well, it starts with the tithe. And the word tithe means a what? A tenth. A tenth. And, you know, God could have said, well, you know, I need 90%. Ten percent is the beginning point, the beginning start. And then anything over that tenth is an offering. Last Sunday, prime example, that was a special offering over and above the tithe. You all gave in cash. Shan still hadn't gotten the report, the online giving, but you all gave $8,400 so that our North American missionaries could do what they're called to do. That's an offering over and above. Abraham committed his tenth to the Lord in Genesis 14. Jacob consecrated a tenth of his income to the Lord in Genesis 28. Moses called for the tithe from the people of Israel over there in Leviticus 27. Malachi 3 commands the people of God to give a tenth of their income. Jesus, in Matthew 23:23, commended tithing. Paul continues that issue. I hear this quite often from one certain crowd, church crowd in Clarksville. Well, the New Testament doesn't say anything about tithing. Oh, really? Go read Matthew 23:23. See, there's things like prayer and fasting and giving, and they just, the New Testament writers just assume that's what we're going to do. And they said, when you pray, do it like this. When you fast, do it like this. When you give, do it like this. And so that's the place to start in your giving, is 10%. And I don't know who does the giving here, because I'm just spiritual enough to know that, you know, Adam and Nikki are giving $5,000 a month. And David and Carol are giving $500 a month. I might just cowtail to them. I hope I wouldn't do that. So I don't need to know who's doing the giving. But you know who does know? The Holy Spirit of God. And if you want to be blessed, start getting in on this. And so here's what I want to conclude with. Let me just ask you a question. Do you love Jesus with all your heart? I mean, do you really love Him? Do you? Does He have control of your life? Is He control of every area of your life? Well, if the answer to that is yes, you're going to plan to give. You know you've got a personal responsibility to give, and you're going to give as God prospers you, and you're going to begin with tithing if He's Lord of your life. And so that's where I want to conclude this message. He's Lord. And by the way, you're not taking a dime with you when you leave here. Not one red cent. How many of you have ever seen, y'all know what I'm fixing to say, a hearse pulling a U-Haul? There was an evangelist, true story, an evangelist a few years ago who was preaching a revival in a local church, and he'd flown in on his, and the airport, the airlines had lost his luggage. And so he gets to the pastor's house and he said, man, I'm supposed to start preaching tonight and I don't have a suit. He said, what size are you? And so he gave him his size for, and he went and got him a suit. And so about 30 minutes before the service was supposed to start, the evangelist put the suit on and it fit perfect. And then he got across the road there to the sanctuary, and he noticed there weren't any pockets in the pants. And there wasn't anything where he could put his little handkerchief. No back pockets. And so they had a great service, but after the service, he said, Pastor, he said, man, we had a great service, didn't we? And he said, I just want to tell you, this suit you got me fits perfectly, but it doesn't have any pockets where did you get this suit? And he said, at the funeral home. You take a look next time you got a loved one. Because the funeral home knows you're not taking anything with you. And you've got an opportunity right now to give God your very best. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will be placed into your bosom. Listen, God's a giver, and He blesses generous, cheerful giving. And if you can't do it with those two issues, then don't do it. But if you want to be blessed of God, this morning say, Lord, I'm yours. And you've got everything I've got from you, and so I'm going to return to you what you've asked for. Let's pray together. Maybe, just maybe, you're here today and you really haven't surrendered to Christ. He's not the Lord of your life. I would encourage you today, before you ever get up and walk out of here, to surrender to Jesus as Lord of your life. That's what Romans 10:9 says. And when you're surrendered to Him wholeheartedly, you won't have any issues with this other deal. And He'll give you the faith to do what He tells you to do, and then He'll supply. He will prosper you. You may get the job that you need. That loved one may get healed that needs healing. Those bills of yours will get paid. Maybe. Just maybe God will bless you in some other way. Maybe somebody in your family that's lost will be saved. But it begins with your lordship. Is He Lord of your life? Do you love Him with your whole heart? I'd love to share the gospel with you today here at the altar. One of our counselors, one of our deacons, what would love to share Jesus with you. But now it's your turn. You've got to respond in obedience. I'm going to pray for you. And then don't you wait. Get out of that seat. They'll let you out of that row and you come. For whatever it is that God's telling you to do. Some of you are here and you need to be baptized. Jesus told us to be baptized. Maybe you need a church home. Father, it's our time of response. And I pray, God, that everybody in this room this morning would fall wholeheartedly, totally, head over heels in love with Jesus and surrender. Surrender to Him as Lord of our lives. For some that means salvation. For some that means revival. For others that means getting right in some other area of their life. I don't know, God, but You're big enough to speak to all of us. And so speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We're going to stand quietly and we're going to sing. You follow Brother Andrew's lead. Let's everyone stand and you come. Come on right now.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.